Morning. The Hebrew Bible lesson this morning is Genesis 29:15 through 28. You already know the names, so that should come easy. It's on page 25 in the Hebrew Bible in the pew, and in the large print Bible, it's on page 32. Hear these words. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were lovely, and Rachel was graceful and beautiful. Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, "I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to any other man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife that I may go to her, for my time is completed." So Laban gathered together all the people of the place and made a feast. But in the evening he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob. And he went in to her. Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah to be her maid. When morning came, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Did I not serve with you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me?" Laban said, "This is not done in our country, giving the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one, and we will give you the other also in return for serving me another 7 years." Jacob did so and completed her week. Then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel as a wife. The word of the word of God for the people of God. The responsive reading is Psalm 105 on page 828 in the back of your hymnal. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call on God's name, make known God's deeds among the peoples. Sing to the Lord, sing praises, tell of all God's wonderful works. Glory in God's holy name. Let the hearts of those who speak the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek the Lord's presence continually. Remember the wonderful works God has done, the miracles and judgments God has uttered. O offspring of Abraham, God's servant, children of Jacob, God's chosen ones. The Lord is our God, whose judgments are in all the earth. The Lord is mindful of his everlasting covenant, of the word commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant made with Abraham, his promise sworn to Isaac and confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, "To you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance."
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. It can be found on page 148 in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible, or on page 17 in the, no, that's not right, page 192 in the large print edition. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. For we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, let me ask you now to rise as you are able, and as you're standing up, find in your Bible the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 through 33, and we'll continue on 44 through 52. That is in your pew Bible on page 14 of the New Testament, and if you're in the large print edition, it's on page 17 of the New Testament. This is the very, very rich part of Matthew, which is so many amazing parables. That's why we bounce around a little bit between the parable and the description. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Now, you got to believe that Diana knew the scripture when she picked out, give me that old time religion. Because the scribe who is paying attention is just like the master who comes out with what is old and what is new. Well, this week, as I was thinking, which is in itself is a rare occasion, but as I was thinking, I realized that as of July 1st of this year, I have been truly blessed to be appointed to the pastor of Burns Memorial United Methodist Church for 8 years. Now that's a sacrifice on some people's part. But during those 8 years, I have officiated at many more funerals than I care to count. But even in those occasions of grief and pain, these have also been times of joy and hope and living faith. I bring up funerals for 2 reasons. First, this passage from Romans is often read at funerals and will be this week. And second, as you know, we had a death in our congregation this week, Glenn Jerome. Sadness, pain, and joy, hope, and faith. In the United Methodist Church, the three kinds of services, a funeral, a burial of the dead, or a memorial service, are known collectively as a service of death and resurrection. According to our book of worship, this term expresses clearly the twofold nature of what is done. The facts of death and bereavement are honestly faced, and the gospel of resurrection is celebrated in the context of God's baptismal covenant with us in Christ. And today's Romans passage certainly does well in helping us to honestly face the facts of death and bereavement. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you lose someone you love, it is comforting to know, as Paul reminds us, that God's love in Christ is truly inseparable from the person who has died. But Paul's words go so much further in confirming God's inseparable love in the faith of the living. Listen to the opening prayer from our service of death and resurrection. Friends, we are gathered here to praise God and to witness to our faith as we celebrate the loss of the deceased person. We come together in grief, acknowledging our human loss. May God grant us grace, that in pain we may find comfort, in sorrow, hope, in death, resurrection. This prayer focuses on three important activities. First, we are called to praise God. Second, we are asked to witness to our faith in Jesus Christ. And third, finally, we are there to celebrate the loss and the life of the deceased. Praise God, witness to our faith in Christ, celebrate the life of the deceased. Both Paul and Jesus himself make the point quite eloquently that God's love and God's kingdom are most certainly worth dying for, but they are also, perhaps most importantly, worth living for passionately and urgently. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son in order that He might be firstborn within a large family. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Let us be crystal clear. Paul says we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. This does not mean that God promises us that everything will be smooth sailing throughout our lives, but rather it means that when we humble ourselves and submit in obedience to God, that all things will work out in the end for goodness. God promises that whatever happens, God will be there with you through it all. I chuckle as I'm reminded of the opening line of a country song written by Joe South and made popular by Lynn Anderson in 1970. You probably remember it. I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. Along with the sunshine, there's got to be a little rain sometimes. Life can most certainly be tough, but it is so much better when we walk with Jesus in the way in God's kingdom. In Matthew's reading for today, Jesus speaks in wonderful, insightful parables describing God's kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed sown in a field, like yeast mixed into flour, like a treasure hidden in a field, like a pearl merchant who finds a good one, and like a net full of fish. I cannot begin to do these five parables justice in one sermon. You really ought to give yourself a treat and spend some time in pondering and praying over these amazing parables. They are truly a set of blessings from God in themselves. But let's consider them very briefly right now. God's kingdom can grow up from the smallest of seeds planted in someone's mind by a follower of Jesus like you. The Holy Spirit can cause God's love to mature and grow into faith in the heart of that person, faith that is strong and transforming. God's kingdom is a way of life that is radical in its open abundance and its ability to feed people with the spiritual food for which each of our hearts is truly yearning. In this parable, that much yeast mixed in with 3 measures of flour would feed literally hundreds of people. Such is God's amazing and abundant grace. God's kingdom might well be found in the unlikeliest of places, but once discovered, the wise person does whatever it takes to grab hold of God's love. A pearl, like on your bulletin cover, begins as a grain of sand or another small irritant in the flesh of an oyster. But through God's providence, it grows into a thing of true and lasting beauty. So too can be the reality of heaven in your life. God's kingdom will indeed come to its full fruition when Jesus returns to earth and that heavenly net is thrown into the sea of humanity. Just like last week's earlier parable of the wheat and the weeds, judgment day will indeed come. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate out the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. These parables are amazing in their profound truth. My friends, God's love and God's kingdom are most certainly worth dying for, but they are also, most importantly, worth living for passionately and urgently. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor thing present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is inseparable love. And that is how God loves you. Amen.